Well, thanks for staying with us as we continue into our final half hour of Real Presence Live. I'm Brandon Clark, one of your hosts this morning, joined by
Lynn Devitt.
And we're going to transition into a really great conversation about Catholic sexual ethics. We'll break down what that means in getting into what the church actually teaches about sex, its goodness, and how we're seeing that all play out in a negative way, actually, in our society. Of course, the church actually just had a document that came out clarifying some different things like surrogacy, which was important because the last document that came out was in the 80s regarding that. And of course, we have since advanced and needed that clarification. So we're going to dive into all of that. So Dr. Chris DeCock, thanks for joining us.
Thank you.
So let's talk about this. What does the church hold as far as views on sex and sexual ethics?
So first off, it should be no surprise to anyone that the Catholic Church holds that sexual intercourse is only appropriate between a man and a woman in the sacrament of marriage. So that is a vast contrast from what the world teaches, because basically the world says, look, it's my body, it's my choice. I can use and dispose of my body as I will, which of course is contrary to, you know, natural law and, you know, our God-given rights. We are stewards of our bodies. We don't own our bodies. We can't do whatever we want to our bodies, and a lot of people don't like that. Also, secular world tells us there's sex without consequences. Well, that's just balderdash. That's ridiculous, and we'll talk about why
that is. That's a great word. Thank
you. It is a great word.
Don't worry. I've got more good words for you. Also, we're seeing many, many, many violations of natural law. I mean, just look at, you know, homosexuality. And I don't even really like to use that term because that's implying that it's on par with heterosexuality, right? It's sodomy. I mean, that's what it is, as much as we want to pretty it up. And, you know, there is, you know, no biological purpose for two men or two women to have relations together, as much as people may not want to hear that. Another thing, we see the severing between, you know, the procreative and the unitive functions of sex. And it's important. And again, we'll dive into that deeper. We also see a rampant use of others. And that's really where the core bioethical problems come in. And thank you for talking about the recent document, because that really gets down to the nitty-gritty of it. You know, the intrinsic human dignity that each one of us possesses. And then stemming from that, like in surrogacy, like you had mentioned, or even in vitro fertilization, we're talking about basically buying and selling and commodifying human beings for our own desires. And as you can see, that's a stark contrast from what we believe as Catholics.
And so I think what we want our listeners to understand is that sex is good. Like, there is a great goodness to sex, Lynn.
Well, and it creates life.
Yes.
It's good. It creates life. It is meant to form lifelong relationships and connections. And just like so many other things, sin can turn good things, beautiful things, into ugly, very, very ugly things. And I love that you're here, Dr. DeCock, to talk about, you know, and you talked about some of the key tenets and beliefs regarding sex for Catholics. So how do we best, is there a simple way for us just to describe these views?
So, you know, we've talked about, you know, some of these key tenets in the simple way. I mean, you know, the simple way would be to, you know, actually follow what Jesus told us to, you know, love the Lord our God with all our heart and soul and mind, and love our neighbor as ourself. And if we actually did that, if we actually honored people's intrinsic human dignity, if we didn't use people, if we didn't sell people, if we didn't, you know, violate natural law, the world would be a much better place. And, you know, the problem is, you know, people have lost sight of what the actual purpose of life is. And I'm going to go back to the Baltimore Catechism. You know, it's to love, know, and serve God in this world and be with him in the next, right? We have a purpose. We have a telos. Everything we should do should be oriented toward that telos. You know, ultimately, those around us also have the same purpose of life. And when we distort sexual ethics, it really becomes a problem. And so, you know, simply put, you know, if you were actually to live up to what you're supposed to do as a human being and to never deny the complete gift of self by severing the procreative and the unitive aspects of, you know, sexual intercourse and sexual relationships, I mean, that's it. I mean, that's the nuts and the bolts of it. If you honor someone's intrinsic human dignity, and if you don't, you know, basically play God and think that you can have, you know, use your body as a tool for your own self-gratification and use other people's as a means for your own self-gratification, I mean, really, as we look at these topics, that's how it boils out. You know, like you guys said, the Catholic Church embraces the sanctity and the beauty of the sexual act. I mean, yeah. I don't know of anyone else who has done more research, done more studies, you know, published more about the importance of sex than the Catholic Church. And sexual intercourse properly is a mirror of the divine, right? It's the mutual self-indwelling, the total gift of self, of yourself to your spouse. And it's serious, right? It's not cheap. It's not free. It's not meaningless. You know, I joke with my wife. I said, yeah, you know, because I said, you know, it's a good thing. You know, I've only given you everything, you know, and that's what you should want for your loved one. You know, you should want to do everything. You should want to sacrifice for them. You should want to put them above yourself. And so, I mean, that's basically, you know, the nuts and bolts of it, but there's so much deeper, and I think we need to dive in a little bit deeper as well. Yeah. Because, you know, it's like when in the hospital, you know, we talk about the ethical and religious directives. Well, there's directives, and a lot of people are like, well, the Catholic Church just wants us to blindly follow this. No, the Catholic Church has put directives in place, and there's a reason,
right?
And it's sort of like the idea of Chesterton's fence, right? So if you see a fence across the road and you walk up to that fence, unless you know why that fence is there, you have no business dismantling the fence because there's a reason. And again, that's why I talked about telos as well. There's a reason to our lives. There's a reason to our interactions. You know, there's a reason that we're here, and we shouldn't cheapen that.
Yeah, I think that's really important. And the other thing that I love about Chesterton's fence reference is that then it provides the boundaries for which we can play inside, right? We know where the limits are, and we have all of the space in between to be able to enjoy the gifts that the Lord has given us. You know, I mentioned that document. It was actually the 60s. It came out on the eve of the Immaculate Conception. It was Dignitatis Humanae, December 7th, 1965. And then the most recent version, kind of the update version, Dignitas Infinita, came out just recently on August 4th. So, you know, it's important to be able to a lot of people, maybe I'll say it this way, a lot of people talk about the church needing to get with the times, right? Or talk about how the church really just needs to stay out of my bedroom. And I think it's such a narrow view of the goodness of what we have. And if we truly understood, Dr. DeCock, what we have, I think our eyes would be opened to the great beauty in front of us.
Oh, I agree. You know, the Catholic teaching, you know, upholding the intrinsic human dignity of everyone around us and making sure we're in line with natural law and providing that whole gift of self in that very serious relationship, that's not difficult to understand. What's difficult to do is to actually apply it.
Yeah. I was going to say, I mean, contraception, doctor, is easy. It's readily available. And why are we supposed to do hard things in the Catholic Church?
Well, again,
right?
Why do you do hard? Okay, so you're my teenage daughter. Well, I don't want to go to school. Well, I'm sorry, you have to go to school. You don't really have a choice, because in order for you to fulfill your purpose. And again, it comes back to your purpose. In order to do that, you need to do the hard things, right? We are not perfect. We are made for heaven, but we need to be purified. We need to work at it. You know, it's like someone told me, you know, when we got married, you know, we choose the means of our own salvation, you know, the good, the bad, and everything in between. So in marriage, when you say you're going to love, honor, you know, in good times and bad, and sickness and health, I mean, that's it. They're, you know,
I don't always know what that means.
Until well, I would it say means you never it's not, know what that
yeah.
means.
It's not easy.
Right.
And anything worth having is not easy.
Right.
Yeah. Yep. Agreed. You know, you included in your notes a part that I have highlighted before from Humanae Vitae. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I think from the female side, you know, not contraception, the pill, this is the easiest thing that we just hand out like candy. There's actually an over-the-counter version coming if it's not already out there. I just saw a commercial for it. And, you know, we give it to, I was just yesterday looking on the side effects of the pill. And of course, it's the first one is Planned Parenthood telling me the side effects of the pill. I'm not sure how trustworthy that is. So I just kind of want to talk a little bit more about maybe some of the specifics, because there was someone online that said she'd been taking birth control since she was 12.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
For acne. So we're just handing out these hormones, these hormonal contraceptives, and they have real side effects. The church is not just doing this to punish us, but because there's beauty involved on the self-sacrificing side, but from a health consciousness side, there's something really beautiful too. So
yeah, let's go ahead and pick that up on the other side of the break. This is Real Presence Live. We're visiting with Dr. Chris DeCock about Catholic sexual ethics, diving into the contraceptive aspect of it when we return from the break. Stay with us.
Stay with us. There's more Real Presence Live to come on the Real Presence Radio Network.
For centuries, healthcare has been central to the healing ministry of the church. Today's technologies offer exciting possibilities, but also serious moral questions. More than ever, we need healthcare leaders who serve with integrity and conviction. The University of Mary answers the call to prepare leaders anchored in moral courage in a breathtaking range of programs from bioethics to nursing. Visit CatholicProfessional.life.
This is Lavinia Spirito for Catholic Way Bible Study. The Gospel records in Luke chapter 4 that at the beginning of his public ministry, Jesus preaches in his hometown of Nazareth and absolutely stuns his relatives and neighbors by his authoritative preaching. The good people of Nazareth are so taken aback that they wind up trying to throw him off a cliff and stone him. Even Jesus' capacity to perform signs and wonders was limited by the suspicions and hostile expectations of Nazareth. Not much of a reception from the people who should have known him best. Now think about this. If this happened to Jesus, how much more will it happen to us as we faithfully follow in his footsteps as disciples? Do not be discouraged by sarcasm, hostility, or even persecution by family and friends. The Lord will sustain you in your Christian life, even amid persecution.
Catholic Way Bible Study. Peace, power, purpose. Find out more at cwbs.org.
Did you know you can listen to Real Presence Live anytime on any podcast platform? Just search for Real Presence Radio on platforms such as Spotify, Apple Music, iHeartRadio, Stitcher, and on the Real Presence Radio website. Then subscribe so you don't miss any future shows. If you like what you hear, give us a good rating so other people can find us as well. Real Presence Radio, your family of faith and hope.
You're listening to Real Presence Live. Now, back to more inspirational and uplifting stories and a look at the extraordinary things happening in our local area. Heard right here on the RPR Network.
All right, we're continuing our conversation here with Dr. Chris DeCock talking about Catholic sexual ethics. Before the break, Lynn had talked about the contraceptive world, basically. And this is interesting because I have been trained in Creighton Model of Natural Family Planning, and I just finished up a week last month learning more about advanced cases, IVF, contraception, all these different things. And I even have clients who, from the moment they were they entered puberty, right, and started getting their period, they were put on contraceptives, not due to the whole fertility thing, but due to other health-related issues. And it just seems like this is a go-to sort of deal when it comes to contraceptives, when it comes to sometimes the medical world and those who promote contraception. But talk about the problems with that, Dr. DeCock.
So first of all, you know, I see a lot of kids with headaches. And what I tell people is, I'm like, look, I can put you on a preventative, but what's far more effective is to figure out why you've got the headaches and then to treat the underlying cause. And so for a lot of these conditions, I mean, you know, there's nothing immoral about taking, you know, birth control for the intention of controlling really bad acne, right? It can help. But perhaps it's not the best solution, you know. To me, it seems really sort of odd that in the world where we're looking at, you know, decreasing our carbon footprint and going green and stuff like that, our solution to these problems is to put women on massive amounts of hormones that we know have side effects, some more serious than others, of course. And natural family planning, like you mentioned, has no side effects. Self-control has no side effects. So why wouldn't women demand that their spouses or their loved ones practice self-control rather than taking all of these hormones? So to me, it seems a little odd, and maybe just because it's easy, right? So it's easy just to take a pill. And again, like you said, Lynn, people are, you know, this is given out like candy, and maybe it shouldn't, right? Maybe there's a better way. Maybe when you're looking at these problems, maybe you want to fix the underlying problem rather than just covering up the symptoms, because ultimately that's what birth control does, is it covers up the symptoms. Now, the problem is with contraception just in itself, from an ethical standpoint, is, again, it allows for the use of other people. It's not putting the other first. And I think Pope Paul VI did a fantastic job talking about the effects. I mean, he could have been a prophet. I mean, this is exactly what happened with the addition, the advent of birth control. And if I may, I'm going to read it. And this is from Humana Vitae.
Please.
He said, responsible men can become more deeply convinced of the truth of the doctrine laid down by the church on this issue if they reflect on the consequences of methods and plans for artificial birth control. Let them first consider how easily this course of action could open wide the way for marital infidelity and a general lowering of moral standards. Okay, we've seen that, and if you don't think we have, you're probably blind. Not much experience is needed to be fully aware of human weakness and to understand that human beings, and especially the young who are so exposed to temptation, need incentives to keep the moral law. And it is an evil thing to make it easy for them to break the law. Another effect that gives cause for alarm is that man who grows accustomed to the use of contraceptive methods may forget the reverence due to the woman, and disregarding her physical and emotional equilibrium, reduce her to being a mere instrument for the satisfaction of his own desires, no longer considering her as his partner, whom he should surround with care and affection. I mean, and doesn't that sound like the hookup culture? Yeah. I mean, that's exactly what has happened.
Well, and I thought the same, you know, when we're talking about giving birth control to 12-year-olds because they have something else, they have heavy periods, they have, you know, premenstrual, really painful PMS and things like that. But in the back of the mind of a 14-year-old who's been on birth control, now being pressured by a boyfriend, you know, they know, well, at least I can't get pregnant. Mm-hmm. And sort of this, you know, you mentioned it, the being aware of human weakness and understand that human beings, especially the young, are exposed to these kinds of temptations. And we're doing it for good reasons, we think. But mm-hmm. maybe as parents, we want to talk more deeply about what else we can do.
Mm-hmm. Well, and I think that generally goes to the idea of sort of the biological, or not the the bioethical sort of underpinnings of this, is we're not very well informed in our own intrinsic human dignity and the dignity of those around us. So I've used this term a couple of times already. Now, we talked about it previously. Basically, intrinsic human dignity is a dignity that all of us have by virtue of being members of the human species, right? It is not attributed by anyone, any society, anything like that. Because we're human, we have intrinsic human dignity. And, you know, if you want to look more Enlightenment thinking, you know, Immanuel Kant said that human beings cannot be used as a mere means, right? And what does that mean? Using a human for some means to an end, right? Using other people. And if you think about it, you know, religiously, why do we have intrinsic human dignity? It's because we're children of God, right? We, you know, are created for a purpose. We're created to be with the Creator, and we can't be using each other. If we look at Gaudium et Spes, it specifically states that the order of things must be subordinate to the order of persons and not the other way around. All justice has to be based on intrinsic human dignity. Why do we respect life? Because of intrinsic human dignity. Why do we care about the common good? Because of intrinsic human dignity. Why do we care about stewardship? Because of intrinsic human dignity, right? It all comes back to that core value. And again, people don't realize that. I mean, for example, I mean, the only way we're able to justify abortion is to say that they don't have intrinsic human dignity. We attribute dignity to them when they can speak or when they happen to be born. And again, that's the basis of the idea and the support for slavery. That's surrogacy. That's IVF. I mean, it's all of these problems. So when we abandon the intrinsic human dignity of the other, that's when these problems arise.
About 30 seconds left. What would you leave as far as a takeaway from our conversation today for our listeners to just chew on and mull over?
So I actually didn't have this in the original notes, and I'm going to quote Benedict XVI, and it's from Deus Caritas Est. And I actually read it last night, and I was like, wow, that's really good. So just hear me out. Nowadays, Christianity of the past is often criticized as having been opposed to the body. And it is quite true that tendencies of this sort have always existed. Yet the contemporary way of exalting the body is deceptive. Eros, reduced to pure sex, has become a commodity, a mere thing to be bought and sold. Or rather, man himself has become a commodity. This is hardly man's great yes to the body. On the contrary, he now considers his body and his sexuality as the purely material part of himself to be used and exploited at will. Nor does he see it as an arena for the exercise of his freedom, but as a mere object that he attempts, as he pleases, to make both enjoyable and harmless.
That's definitely something that we can ponder through and pray through, reflecting on Pope Benedict's words. Thank you so much, Dr. Tagok, for joining
Thank
us
you.
As always.
Awesome. And we'll be back for more later.
Yeah, absolutely, we will.
Good.
All right, we are going to toss it over to Aaron for a preview. Now, we don't have a show tomorrow, correct?
Yeah, that's the thing, is it's not really a preview. It's more of an announcement that we're not going to be having a show tomorrow because it's the Feast of the Ascension. So there's your preview. That's the holy day coming up tomorrow. Get to church if you can. And we'll be playing EWTN programming from 9 to 11 during our usual time. So look forward to that. And then, of course, our live drive is next week, which you've heard of. So get excited for that as well. And we will be back with more Real Presence Live regular programming back on May 21st, Tuesday, hosted by Jacques Daniel out of Rapid City. So
yeah, we've got a lot of great things.
Got a lot of big things coming up.
Yep.
Well, Lynn, we have about a minute and a half. Biggest takeaways for today?
Well, the last quote that Dr. Deacock just brought up. I mean, this idea that we respect the body by working with it.
Yeah.
As opposed to respecting the body by medicating it and changing it. And it's just that really hit me right in the heart. I'm glad you brought it. You didn't think, well, it wasn't in my notes.
Right. No. No. And this ties into the bioethics idea of the hierarchy of goods.
Yeah.
The biomedical good is the lowest.
Yeah.
The spiritual good is the highest.
Yeah. Yeah, no, it's definitely something to ponder. And especially like as we think about the advancements of medicine, we have NAPRO technology, right? So we can work and treat those things without having to use the chemical alternatives, you know? So I think that's really important. Yeah. I think my biggest takeaway for today was actually talking with Deb Call and talking about, you know, we were talking about the dignity of life and here, the dignity of life and working with those with memory loss. What a great gift she is to our community and for founding this, just having that insight. It was just
absolutely
amazing.
And knowing that we will all at some point, if we're not already, have loved ones who have some kind of memory loss, either serious dementia, Alzheimer's, and they still deserve dignity, and this bringing them back with music and beautiful.
Amen. Well, that's all for us today. Again, no Real Presence Live tomorrow, but we do have our spring live drive coming up next Tuesday through Thursday, so be sure to tune in. And until next time, God bless you. Have a great day.
This has been Real Presence Live on the Real Presence Radio Network. Real Presence Live brings you inspirational stories of faith and a look at the good and holy things happening in our local area. Weekday mornings from 9 to 11 Central. Tune in for an encore of each show beginning Saturday morning at 6. Get the podcast any time of day or night at yourcatholicradiostation.com or on the Real Presence radio app. And remember, you can be a part of the conversation through Facebook and Twitter. Real Presence Live, local, engaging, and live on the Real Presence Radio Network.